You turn with me, please, and we'll try and get a wee bit into what's left for of the time this afternoon. So, 1 Samuel, chapter 9, and verse 11. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, Is the seer here? And they answered them and said, He is. Behold, he is before thee. Make haste now, for he came to die to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people to die in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now, just a wee word for our encouragement, viewed very simply from the Word of God. Here I find in the chapter there's a group of young maidens. And they're going out, and they're going out just for the job of drawing water. But God is the great superintender of the lives of his people. And he had before these young women an experience that they would never forget, an experience, I suppose, for the whole of their lifetime they would be talking about. Something happened that day that was extremely unusual. Remember the term that you have in the scriptures too, relative to Ruth, when she went out one day. Just going out with a strange one woman, she said to her mother-in-law, Shall I go and glean corn? And it says, as her hap happened. That's like every day in our lives, isn't it? We get up in the morning. Possibly we spend time in prayer and read the scriptures. At least we should. Maybe you younger folk have time to get a bit of breakfast. Some young folks don't. But you go out, and just like these young women went out, or Ruth went out, it's just another day that lies before your path. Well, with Ruth, we remember, it says that she had come to shelter under the wings of Jehovah, and therefore she had committed her life to God in a very singular way. And if you commit your life to God, well, you can be sure of this, that all those texts that preachers talk about will become perfectly true. You know, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You know all those promises, don't you? And having trusted Christ as our own Saviour, we can be perfectly sure that in the days of our lives, day by day, the Lord will be leading us. He did it with Ruth. He did it with these young women. They went out to draw water. They were going to do the ordinary, everyday thing that young women did in life. But as they went out to draw water, they had this strange experience. Ruth went out to glean corn in the field. And her gleaning in the corn in the field, the hap happened that she chose just the right strip in the field, for it was a field made up of strips, and a different owner had each strip. There was only one strip that belonged to Boaz. And when she went out in the morning, she didn't toss up and say, well now, which piece shall I go to? But her hap happened, and she lighted on the field of Boaz. Now these young women were very similar. They went out. And as they went out, they were faced with a question, is the seer here? And you think of the seer, that is Samuel. He's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus. And so you'd say that they met two men who made an inquiry about the seer. Is the seer here? As you and I go out, we might, in our daily life, come across those people who will ask us a question about the Saviour. Could we introduce them to him? These two men wanted to be introduced to the seer. There are sinners that you and I may contact in our lives day by day, and so the question comes to us, well now, can you introduce me to the Saviour? I hope that is the attitude of life that we all have. The possibility of introducing someone to the Saviour. And the possibility of introducing someone to the Saviour day by day. The question, is the seer here? You should notice that these young women were very good preachers. Better preachers than some of the men. Because you'll notice as you go down this chapter, seven times they say he. And once they say him. So the subject of their preaching, as they answered the question, is the seer here, their subject of preaching was him. I think that's good, isn't it? Talking to folks who have a great need in their souls, who are unsaved, who are bound for a lost eternity, when you talk to them, you have but one subject, and that is talking about him. To ask you young men, when you preach, what do you talk about? Is it him? Or do you try to entertain the audience that comes and listen to you by trying to be clever with philosophical things? The preaching of the gospel is not about anything else but him. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose again. You preach Christ, and you don't stop there. You preach Christ and him crucified, which is a man on a gallows. And a man on a gallows suffering a criminal penalty because of guilt. So that when you speak about him, Christ and him crucified, you're talking about a person, and you're talking about a person who died in a sinner's stead, who died for me. Let me write it on your soul. The subject that these young women preached about that day was him. And every good preacher makes him the center of their conversation. What does they say then about him? You'll notice that they say he's coming. They say, if you read the verses, he's going to bless the sacrifice. They say he's going to sit down at the feast. They say the guests have been invited. But I tell you what, there were two seats at the table. And these two men that they talked to about him, at the end of the story, these two men fill those two seats. Talk about him. You talk about the fact the Savior came. You talk about the fact that he went to the place of sacrifice. You talk about the fact that through him there has been spread the feast of the gospel. And you talk about him as they did, and they say, you know, the guests are invited, but they won't start the ceremony until he comes. You see, there was a feast spread, and he was going to be there, and there were invited guests. But you know, they talk so much about him, in answer to the question that these two men had put, they talked about him so that these two men left them, and going up the road, they met Samuel, they met Saul, in other words, they met Saul, and this man Saul and his servant met Samuel and were so intrigued with Samuel that they were led to a place where they sat down at the table, did these two men, and they filled those two vacant seats. Now you'll understand I haven't given all the details about this. This is a 10-minute sermon and my 10 minutes is up. But got the idea, just for our encouragement, going out in the morning, committing our way unto the Lord Jesus, expecting to find those who will say, where is the Saviour? Don't miss your opportunity. These young women didn't. Spend your time talking all about Him. Tell about His sacrifice. Tell about the feast of the gospel. Tell that many have come and responded to the message of salvation. And tell them that there's a place in the gospel feast that they can fill, for there's plenty in the sufferings of Christ to meet the need of the whole of mankind. You say, why was that an intriguing day? I tell you, that was an interesting day because in two or three chapters afterwards, the whole of the nation gathered together. And the whole of the nation were about to crown a king. And you can imagine, can't you, if I may use sanctified imagination for a moment, you can imagine those young women standing there and saying, look at that. You know who that is. That's the man who asked us, where is the seer? And unbeknown to them, they had been questioned by Saul as to where the seer was. And they had the privilege of introducing the man who would be Israel's king to Samuel, in order that Samuel might put the anointing oil upon his head. What a privilege for those young women. They went out in the morning, they didn't know Saul, they didn't know this was the day when God's king was going to be anointed. But guided doubtless by God, they met Saul, and they met his servant. They heard the words, he is a seer. Where is the seer? You know, there are meetings that you would say would be better shut down. We had one of them in Scotland. A little place called Catron. And it was a dilapidated building. It wasn't what you call a very scriptural assembly. For they had Saturday night tea meetings in which they had solos and recitations. Anyway, we won't find fault with them for that tonight. Anyway, nearby that there was a camp of German prisoners of war. Ex-SS men. Hitler's really bad men. And getting near to the end of the war, one of the young fellows in that camp, an SS man, he walks down the road and he enters into that old dilapidated gospel hall. And I suppose he listened to very untuneful singing. Possibly very foolish recitations. And a message of the gospel that wouldn't be very acceptably presented. But you know, that young fellow there sat there, and for the first time in his life, he'd heard about the Savior. And he'd heard that Jesus saved. And before the end of the meeting, he trusted Christ. You see, just an insignificant place. That I would have shut down and said, God will do nothing in that place. But God used the people in that little place to bring that man to Christ. Now you understand, before I say something, I'm an assembly man. I never go outside the assembly. I never support anything outside the assembly. But let me tell you that that young man who entered into that hall tonight, that night, and listened to his first message about the Savior, is Anton Schultes of Germany. Shall we say a similar man to Billy Graham? Great preacher of the gospel, leading souls to Christ, associated in a kind of way with the assemblies of God's people in Germany, but very, very loose, and I'm not justifying for that. But God saved his soul, and in a wondrous way he's been being used of God today. How? Because just simple folks carrying on their simple work for God were pleased to tell a young man about the Savior. And as a result, here's a man brought to Christ, and he's being greatly used of God. Got the idea? These young women went out in the morning just to be an ordinary day. They hear the question from two men, where is the seer? And they had the privilege of pointing Saul to Samuel, so that Samuel could take the holy anointing oil and put it on his head, and the people could cry out, God save the king.